This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Helena B. from Providence, Rhode Island. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 28th. This is episode 733. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
What do they call Wednesday hump day? Innocuous jibber-jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody. Helena, thank you for joining us here again on this Wednesday.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it, and I hope my voice holds out. I did four shows yesterday with this cold, and I'm feeling it a little bit today. So if I can't talk anymore after about 10 minutes, it's going to be all you. All Helena, all the time.
Oh, God, I couldn't even handle that.
Hey, I got a story. Remember a couple of weeks ago when you were on, we talked about the donut shop in Massachusetts where the people started paying for the car behind them and, you know, just random acts of kindness. And it went on for like 55 cars. They just kept doing it. Well, there's another random act of kindness that's hit the news big time in Utah yesterday. This is in a little town of Ogden, Utah. Apparently, there was somebody going around leaving huge tips. And when I say huge tips, I mean huge tips. There was speculation that it was Sir Richard Branson, the billionaire guy, you know, Virgin Airways and stuff.
Because
he was in town. There was speculation it was him, but they've determined it wasn't him now. There's a bar there by the name of Alleged. It's the name of the bar, is Alleged. And the manager has acknowledged, and there's a picture of a receipt from Alleged, that apparently this young guy came in with a group of friends, and they sat at the bar. They ran up a $214 bar bill. And then left. And on the way out, he said, well, I want to leave a tip. And he left $5,000 tip on the $214 bill. And then they apparently went somewhere else, or they were at a golf course. And, you know, some golf courses have the girls in the golf cart to go around and deliver drinks.
Yeah.
Well, he gave one of them a $1,000 tip. For his drink.
Same guy? How do you know it's the same guy?
They've all talked now and determined it was the same guy. And then at another place, he left like a $3,000 tip on a $400 food bill. So, you know, they don't know who he is, and he wishes to remain anonymous, but he was doing nice things all over town, and it's made the news big time. By the way, that $5,000 tip, they split it amongst the... All the bartenders got it. The waitresses got it. They all split it, and all ended up going home with hundreds of dollars that night in tips. So it was a good day all around at the bar in Ogden, Utah.
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah.
Does Horse Radio Network provide any services that make tips?
No.
Tip daily.
Horse tip daily. Yeah, you should get tips.
Yes. We need to make sure he stops by Horse Tip Daily. I like that. Okay.
And then, you know, all we do is give stuff away. See, that we don't get tips. We give stuff away.
Well, that's good. We probably have reached, after for as long as Horses in the Morning has been on the air and Wheel of Trivia has been running, would you say we hit about $1,000?
Oh, no, it's probably thousands of dollars, actually, by now, of stuff we've given away.
So that's $5,000. So how come no one does a new show on us?
Anyway.
We're giving stuff away.
That's right. Yahoo hasn't called us to do a news story. Oh, well. Speaking of which, we are going to be doing the wheel here in just a minute, and it looks like we do have people lining up to play the wheel. So we're going to get to Jennifer to find out what's on today's show so she can go start taking calls.
On today's Fun-Filled Wednesday edition, once we have dispatched half a dozen or so trivia-minded callers, we will head across the pond for a restorative look at the news, compliments of Horse and Country TV's Velvet Voice, Victoria Spicer. And following a 3.5-minute musical respite, thehorse.com is here for a look at diagnosing lameness. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And if you are calling in at 347-637-3238 to play the wheel, please hit 1 when you're prompted to get in the host queue. That way Jennifer knows that you are not just listening and you do want to play, because we have a lot of people that call in every day just to listen to the show. So give us a call, and we'll be playing the game in just a minute. Jennifer's going to line up the callers now, and it is time for the Daily Whinnies. Well, my Daily Whinny goes to you, Helena. You get it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
You're my Daily Whinny along with Sissy Finn. And it's because of your new show called Chasing a Fox is now officially out. And you can find it over at horseradionetwork.com or chasingafox.com. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it. It's already been a whole lot of fun, and we're only 2 episodes into it.
So tell everybody what it is and what will be on it and what they'll hear.
Well, Chasing a Fox in a Little Black Dress is a style guide for fox hunters and their friends. And because the world of fox hunting comes along with a lot more than just hours in the saddle, you know, there's cocktail parties and black tie events and all kinds of stuff to go to, we put our style expertise out there for all of our fans. And a lot of people don't know actually how to be properly turned out in the hunt field. So that's the crux of what we're offering. But, you know, there's just as many men and women who don't know how to dress themselves when they're clean and bathed and ready to go out on the town. And of course, because I do a lot of the copywriting, there's going to be some snarkiness and some funny, silly stuff. So it's entertaining and it's informative. So I think that fits right in with the Horse Radio Network show.
And you'll be speaking to guests from all over the fox hunting world and the fashion world?
We will. We're going to bring experts in and interesting people. And there are a lot of interesting fox hunters out there.
Yes, the colorful characters are something you do find in the fox hunting world. That is for sure.
Yeah.
You have no shortage of them.
Yeah, and everybody's got, like, a story that's akin to childbirth, you know? Something great or crazy happened, and, you know, no sooner do you have your feet on the ground than you start telling your story. So we think it'll make for good fun.
Now tell us about Sissy. She's a trip. I got to meet her at Ada when you brought her down a couple weekends ago, and we just had so much fun hanging out with you guys. And I see why you have fun with her, because she is a trip.
She's a total trip. We're 2 peas in a pod. We first met, 6 or 7 years ago, when we, on a whim, decided to go on a horse buying trip down to Pennsylvania. And that was the first time we went, and we barely knew each other. And how we ended up in a minivan going down the New Jersey Turnpike, I'll never know. But she's a laugh riot. I mean, the woman introduced me to the Facebook page, Moms Who Drink and Swear. And I knew that we'd be great friends. She has, she's got 2 kids of her own. And so she gets the whole mom thing. She rides, she fox hunts, she volunteers a lot of her time to the local hunt. And she's got a great sense of humor and is also a great storyteller. She has a background in style services and style expertise. So she's the one who dresses everybody. I don't touch the stuff. I just take pretty pictures and write funny stories. I do not get dressed without the woman looking at what I'm going out in.
So, and you guys were the most styling, too, I must say, at Ada. You definitely were.
Yeah, well, we had to be, you know, that's our job. Although I'll tell you, it's not all glitz and glamour. Walking around for 8 hours in high heels takes its toll on your tootsies.
Yeah, I was surprised actually that you guys were there in high heels, because it is a long day on the concrete, you know, doing
well,
that all day.
See, now that's one of the secrets. that's one of the secrets we're going to share, is how to find the right pair of high heels that don't kill your feet if you actually have to walk in them.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So that's the second new show we brought out in as many months. Of course, Blaze Kids Radio is out now, and they have a couple of episodes up and a new one coming out here at the end of the week. And you guys are going to be twice a month. Is that the deal?
Yep, twice a month.
And all right, so you can find it by going to horseradionetwork.com. It's right there on the homepage, or going to chasingafox.com, right?
Correct. The best place to share to find us at the moment is Facebook. That's where all the fun happens. That's where all the best pictures are and a lot of the activity with other fox hunters. It's really, we've created this online community of very educated, good-humored fox hunters. So check us out on Facebook. Just search for Chasing a Fox. We'll pop right up.
Very good. Well, let's get this party started. We have a lot of callers on waiting to play the Wheel of Trivia, and we don't want to keep them waiting any longer. So we are going to...
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia, where every week, unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have, like an old bell boot.
Well, that is right. It is time for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. This is how it works. Helena, in just a minute, will give you the categories that we have this week. Jennifer's come up with some new ones, so you want to pay attention to that so you can pick your category if you're on the line. If you're on the line, hold on. If somebody wins, we just keep going until 9:30. So we'll take a number of callers today if it's your first time calling in. And if you get the answer incorrect, you will hear the high school buzzer. If you get the answer correct, you'll hear the bell that's sitting here on my desk. So that's what you'll hear. Now, Helena, do we have a question of the day, by the way?
We do have a question of the day. When you ride, do you prefer to ride in breeches and tall boots or half chaps?
And this is for everyday riding?
This is for everyday riding.
Okay, so that's our question of the day. Tell everybody what the categories are.
The categories today are Famous Names, Anatomy 101, Previously on Horses in the Morning, and of course we have Kids Questions. And those are for kids only.
Yeah, like little kids. Not 25-year-old
like real kids. Real kids under 14.
Yeah.
Just saying.
All right, well, let's start in New Jersey with one of our New Jersey contingent. Looks like Lori is up here first. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. How are you?
We are terrific.
You're great. How are you?
Hello?
We have today, Lori, a question of the day for you. And well, this is before we get into the big questions where you can win good stuff. What do you ride in, or what do you school in when you ride? Do you ride in breeches and boots, or do you ride in jeans and half chaps?
Jeans and boots. And always with my spurs on.
What kind of horse do you have?
I have a paint. He's 9 years old.
Was that him right there?
No. No, he's
what
an all around horse.
What kind of spurs do you use?
They're about an inch and a half with a small rowel.
About an inch and a half. That's pretty big, yeah?
Yeah, they're about medium.
Okay.
Are you Western? Do you ride Western?
Oh, definitely Western.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say thank you so much for the Flex and Fork. I won it on the Craigslist ad.
Oh, did you?
And I also sent in a picture, and I love the fork.
See, right? Isn't it the best fork ever?
It is. It's so comfortable, and I am actually only 5'1", and it's extremely comfortable to use. It's not heavy at all, and it's very, very durable.
Now, do you use it for paddocks or in the stables, or where do you use it?
I use it for both, and I actually bring it with us in the trailer because we have very fine shavings that we use in the trailer, and it cleans up wonderfully. So anyone that's listening, Flex and Fork is the way to go.
EquityMFG.com. You just did our commercial for us. Thank you so much for that, Lori.
thank you.
Okay, we have three categories, Lori. Tell me which one you'd like. Famous names, Anatomy 101, or previously on Horses in the Morning?
I'll try the Anatomy 101, and hopefully it's a multiple choice.
Okay. It is multiple choice. Here we go. What long bone is directly above the carpal joint? Is it the femur, the radius, or the scapula?
I'm going to go with A, femur.
Oh.
Ooh. The answer is radius.
Oh.
I would have got that wrong, too. I would have said scapula. You're in there with good company.
Do you know what scapula is?
No, I have no idea. See, this is the advantage to being a horse husband. I don't have to know this stuff. I just say, Jennifer, and then she fixes it. See, that's the advantage of being a horse husband. We have advantages. But Lori, thank you so much for playing. We really appreciate it. And I'm sorry you didn't get to win this week, but definitely give us a call back. And thank you so much for the commercial.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Lori.
Bye-bye.
I like her. She does our job for us. It's nice.
She does. I'd love to hear that someone else loves their Flex and Fork as much as I do. I was trying to feel a little geeky about the whole thing.
I know. I know. But you know what? Everybody that has bought one of these and has one has said the same thing. We haven't found anybody yet that goes, oh, I just hate these things, you know? That just doesn't happen.
Well, no one's going to say they hate it, but they might say something like, yeah, it's not that great. But it is that great.
Well, let's go next to our friend in Ohio, Uta, who I know bought several Flex and Forks and uses hers all the time. Good morning, Uta.
Good morning.
So,
hi, Uta.
Hi,
we have
Helena.
A question of the day. I don't know if we've asked this question. I mean, you've been on the Horse Radio Network a few times. Do you ride in half chaps and jeans, or when you school, when you're just riding for pleasure, or do you wear boots and breeches?
Boots and breeches.
Me too. All right, so that's what, Glenn? We have two in boots and breeches.
Yeah, but the other one, it wasn't really breeches because she rode Western, so she wears her cowboy boots. See, we didn't factor that in, the Western riders.
I ride Western too.
Oh,
so.
Oh, there you go. See, we need to make that a three-part question.
We do. So then what would you, if you ride Western, what would the question be?
Well, they all ride in boots and jeans.
No. Yeah, in jeans. All right. We'll come up with something on the fly. Okay. So, Uta, we have three categories today. Famous names, Anatomy 101, or previously on Horses in the Morning.
I'll take famous names.
Famous names.
Okay. What?
Not be kind, though, because I'm still half asleep.
Okay. What? Name the quarter horse stallion inducted into the AQHA Hall of Fame in 1990, whose daughters, Ought2Go and Goetta, are also inductees. Your choices are A, Frosty's Go Man, B, Go Man Go, or C, Fooling Man.
Wow, I don't know either one of those. Can you say those names one more time?
Yep. So it's the Quarter Horse Stallion who was inducted into the AQHA Hall of Fame in 1990, who had two daughters also as inductees. Those daughters were Ought2Go and Goetta. The choices for you are Frosty's Go Man, Go Man Go, or Fooling's Man.
I'll go with Go Man Go. I really don't know.
Good guess.
Woo-hoo! Oh, my gosh. I went in the middle.
That was a really good guess. You definitely got that one. Wow. I don't know if I'd have gotten that one. I probably would have went Frosty's Go Man just for the heck of it.
The only name of the horses that I actually knew of was Go Man Go, so that's That was my choice. Lucky guess.
Good job, Uta. So now we get to spin the wheel and see what you win today. All right, let's take a spin here. We got lots of new stuff on the wheel, too. I don't really have any crappy prizes today, but we have lots of new stuff.
Oh, really?
No, I don't really have any crappy ones today. We gave all the crappy ones away last week. Oh, you do win one of the new prizes. You win a 64-ounce bottle of the brand-new Soar No More Performance Gel. And this has just come out, Uta. This is almost a $50 value. This Soar No More Performance line will not only be capsaicin-free, as the traditional Soar No More products are, but they will also be, how do you say that, lobelia? Is it lobelia? How do you say that,
lobelia.
Jennifer? Lobelia. Thank you. Free. Arenas has developed these products to assist their clients in maintaining FEI and other horses. Soar No More Performance was designed with competitive equine athletes in mind to fill the void of a topical analgesic. Equine sports competitors now have a worry-free solution to their topical analgesic needs. And Soar No More is something you've got to have in the barn and have around, but this is a new gel that they have that is really nice. We saw it over at Ada, and we met them over there, and they were kind enough to donate these prizes. So thank you so much, Uta, and hold on. Jennifer, we'll chat with you here a second.
All right, thank you. And by the way, yes, I do love my Flex and Fork.
There you go. Have to get that in.
Only callers who own a Flex and Force get on the air.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And some lucky friend of mine will probably get one for Christmas this year.
That's right. Because you bought a bunch of them, didn't you?
Yeah, I ended up buying three to save on the shipping.
We love you, Uta.
That's a great idea. I never would have thought to give like a muck fork as a Christmas gift. Yeah. It's a great idea.
Well, it lasts.
Lisa, you're awesome.
Because they don't break ever. They last forever. So it's a gift that truly does keep on giving or lifting or sifting. Keeps on sifting. That's good. I like that. Bye, Uta.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Uta.
Nobody likes my bad puns. All right, let's go to the next caller. We have Susan in Tennessee.
Good morning.
Hi, Susan.
Helena, good morning. Glenn McGee.
Hi, Susan. We're good. How are you?
I'm good. Beautiful day. Going to work.
Great.
Going to work. You're not riding? When do you get to ride?
Well, it's not like this. Sometimes I can get up real early on the weekends and just ride. But I'm old, so, you know, the heat and my horse is old, so we don't like it when it's real hot.
I don't blame you. I'm not that old. Well, yeah, I am. If you ask my daughter, I'm that old.
You're not as old as me.
But it's the heat gets to me, too. So we have a question of the day for you. And so when you do ride, when it's cool and dry and comfortable, do you prefer to wear boots and breeches or half chaps? Or do you ride Western and you wear cowboy boots and jeans?
Half chaps and breeches. I ride English, and I cannot. I have bunions, so I have to have a lot of room, and I don't like anything constricting my leg. So half chaps, they're well broken in. They got a lot of room, and that's what I ride in.
All right,
I'm with you, Susan.
Yep,
I'm all about comfort too. All right, well, we have a couple of categories today. So they are famous names, Anatomy 101, or Previously on Horses in the Morning. Which would you like?
Previously on Horses in the Morning.
Okay. Here we go. Who produced the upcoming documentary about Penny Chenery and Secretariat, which is titled Penny and Red, The Life of Secretariat's Owner?
Same lady that did the Buck movie, but I can't remember her name.
Oh, Susan.
Oh!
You were getting it confused, I think. It's actually John Tweedy. It was her son.
Oh, okay. I would have missed it anyway. I thought it was the Buck lady. Okay.
No, we did talk about an upcoming documentary that was done by the Buck lady, and I can't remember what that was now, but... But yeah, that we did talk about
Buck
that.
Buck lady.
Yeah.
We don't see that's
how we all think and work alike.
I'll try again then. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks, Susan. Take care.
Bye.
Good day at work.
Bye.
We're back to New Jersey with Happy Barbie is with us again this morning.
Ah, good morning. Hold on, I'm taking you off. Can you hear me? I'm in the arena with my phone in my right hand and my flex and fork in my left hand.
Oh, we love this.
But I'm coming out of the arena because you can hear me better.
It's flex and fork
day. Okay, I put the flex and fork down so I can chat. Yeah.
That's funny.
How are you, Barbie?
I couldn't be better on this sunny day in New Jersey. I'm awesome as usual. How are you guys?
Not too bad. I have no complaints, Glenn. How about you?
Other than my cold, which I'm apparently not allowed to whine about anymore. I'm fine. I'm doing great.
Would you notice how he snuck in a little whine there?
Yes, I did get that in, didn't I?
We all need a little whine in the morning. It's wine on Wednesdays.
It's Whiny Wednesday.
A little wine in the morning.
See, we need to change the name of Wednesday. I like that. Whiny Wednesday.
We need to have a category, a segment on the show.
Without the H. It's the wine, W-I-N-E, not the W-H-I-N-E. So wine. Liquid wine.
Oh, I get it.
We're kidding.
I could use some of that right now.
Again, that's a wine. It's a subtle wine, but it was wine.
People use it
as a remedy. Right? They do like brandy for colds and stuff like that. You can say it's a cold remedy.
I kind of like your idea Helena, of having Whiny Wednesday, a segment where people get to call in and you got 30 seconds to whine about something. Get it out of your system and then you're good for the rest of the day.
It's true. You need to purge. You need to purge,
right.
And then you're clean.
You can enjoy
the rest of your day. All right. Well, we're going to move the show along because we would actually, if it wasn't for me today, we'd be sitting here talking about how bad Glenn's cold is and how miserable life is when your nose is all stuffed up.
No, I'm so happy Wednesday. The boots and the britches and the pants and the jeans, I wear whatever I have on. I don't care. Whatever it is. Jeans,
see, that's
britches,
why we like
boots,
Barbie.
Half chaps, shorts and chaps, whatever I have on that day, that's where I'm going.
Bathing suit.
Okay.
She doesn't
care.
Bikini, whatever.
Suits, English saddle, Western saddles, bareback pads. You just get on that horse and you just have fun. So, or you don't even have to get on. You just go have fun. That's my thing.
That's the best answer to the question yet. All right, Barbie, what category would you like today? Famous names, Anatomy 101, or previously on Horses in the Morning?
I'm going to do previously on Horses in the Morning. I'm trying.
Okay, here we go. What Harvard class of 1969 graduate supports his alumni's polo team by inviting them to play at his facilities in Texas, Florida, and Argentina?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm not good with names. I did know the John Chinnery one.
What do you mean you don't know?
I heard it, but I don't listen to the names. You asked me a name one time of an announcer too, and I got that question wrong. So I'm not. I don't know. That doesn't go in.
Well,
we
just did this yesterday because we had a player from the Harvard polo team on, and we talked about the fact that there's a big supporter of the Harvard polo team is Tommy Lee Jones. So it's Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Jones.
Usually our regular listeners don't get any. They know they can count on previously on Horses in the Morning because they'll get it. But today
I'm not good at names. I can't do name. I'll have to ask the name at the end.
What's our name?
I got the Blaze. The question was Blaze. The other question was the Sun. I would have got that in.
So what are our names, Barbie? Just checking.
Glenn with two N's. Jennifer
and
Helena.
Oh, she got
Wendy
it. Okay.
Jamie Jennings. Who are some of the other ones? Philip. What other shows I listen to?
Well, she's getting all of these. I'm glad she can remember our names anyway. Thank you, Barbie. We'll talk to you later.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Barbie.
Thank you. Have a great day, guys.
Have a great day.
Bye. Thanks, you too.
All right,
let's
take one more quick speed round here. We have Colleen in Pennsylvania. Try and get another winner today.
Oh, hello?
Hi, Colleen.
Hi, how are you?
Doing really well. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's Wednesday, halfway through the week. Always a good thing.
Halfway through the week. Yeah, you got anything you want to whine about? We're just going to preempt Glenn because he's whining all day. So if there's something you'd like to whine about, bring it on.
Not really. I could complain that it's a little rainy and dreary here in Pennsylvania today, but we need the rain too, so.
Okay, there we go. Well, she's got it. She's purged it out of her system. Now she can go about her day. So, quick question for you. Do you ride in boots and breeches and boots or jeans and half chaps? Or do you ride Western and just wear cowboy boots?
No, I would have to say breeches and boots.
Breeches and boots.
So
another one going for the comfort.
Today.
I mean, it's not that half chaps are uncomfortable. It's just, I guess it's a personal preference.
Well, I always used to ride in breeches and half boots and paddock boots and half chaps, but more recently I really started liking to wear my field boots, so I think it's personal preference.
Okay. Well, we have three categories.
Well, wait a minute. Before we go on, not to embarrass you, but have you used your Flex and Fork yet today?
Oh, who, me?
Yes.
You know what? I honestly don't have one.
Ah! All right. She can't play. She's off the air.
She can't play.
All right. You have to buy one. You have to go get one because they're the best things ever. You broke our streak today.
Okay,
everybody that called had one.
That.
All right.
Well, just put it on your Christmas list. Someone who loves you might buy you one.
I would put it on my list, too.
I would, too. I'm going to put another one. I put all kinds. You have poop machines, manure spreaders.
People might think, that it would be on my list, but I'd put it on my list.
All right. We're good. We have to get, Jennifer's pushing us along here because we're running out of time. Right. So.
Okay.
All right.
Three categories. Famous names, Anatomy 101, or previously on Horses in the Morning.
I'm going to try the previously on Horses in the Morning.
Okay.
Hasn't done well for everybody else.
On what object are the colors of the Travers Stakes winner painted each year? What object?
Oh, a canoe or a kayak? I guess it's a canoe.
Yeah, you got it. Very good.
Woo! Nice work.
You were paying attention. Good job.
I was.
Good job. All right, well, let's spin the wheel quick. Let's see what you won. All right. Do you have any kids in your life? Any nieces, nephews, daughters?
I do have some nieces, yes.
Oh, good. Because, well, you can either give this to them or you can keep it for yourself. You have won a Breyer Nakona Classic model. This is one that they made for Breyer Fest this year, and they only made 500 of them, so they're a collector's item. And I checked on eBay today, and they're already gone for $60 plus. So if nothing else, if you don't keep it for yourself, you can make a little cash on eBay. But it's the
I don't know, Glenn. I might have to keep it for myself.
Well, there you go. It's a classic. It'll only go up in value. So that's thanks to Breyer, the good folks over there, for donating that. And you got one of only 500 that were made. And you know who's going to be mad at you about this, don't you, right?
I'm thinking Jamie.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Well, thank you. Hold on. And we'll Jennifer will get to you. Thanks, Colleen.
Alrighty. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's it for the wheel. For everybody else who is waiting on the line, we didn't get to you this week. Please give us a call back next week, and we'll try and get back to you then. So we had a couple of winners anyway today, but boy, we had some tough questions. And I thought that the regulars would especially get the Horses in the Morning questions, but Jennifer tricked them up this week. Now, we have to, before we get to Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV from England, we have to tell you a little bit about a relationship that we now have and we're very excited about, and that is that we are an official media partner of Road to the Horse in 2014. Don't miss the Road to the Horse International 2014 at the Kentucky Horse Park, March 14th through the 16th, for the World Championship of Colts starting. Watch Dan Steers from Australia, Antoine Clo from Switzerland, and Jonathan Field from Canada, and be the first ever Road to the Horse wildcard competitor. They're doing a wildcard this year where 12 people are competing all year long. They face off to see who will walk away with the title of world champion. Watch, learn, and be inspired to reach a higher level of horsemanship at Road to the Horse. Plus, enjoy the largest shopping experience yet. Find out now find out more at roadtothehorse.com. You can get your tickets there. We will be there. We have a booth that will be set up, and we'll be recording some shows live from Road to the Horse as well. We're very excited to be an official media partner of Road to the Horse. Thank you so much to them.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
That's right. It is time to bring our friend Victoria Spicer on, all the way from England. How are you, Victoria?
I'm very well. How are you both?
We're great. Hey, I saw that you got out on your pony over the weekend. I saw a picture.
I did. I took him eventing on Sunday, and he was brilliant. And then the next day, I took him into an X-ray horse class. So he is very tired and is now having a little holiday.
Is Victoria very tired?
I was. I was tired midway around the cross country. I got to the bottom of the hill halfway around and thought, I just don't know if I'm fit enough to get back home. So my horse is so stunning that I'll let him have a little leg stretch up the hill towards the finish. And being an X-race horse, he just tore off at top speed, and having already jumped about 20 fences. And he was still full of running, and it took me a while to fill him up. Whereas I was absolutely exhausted, so I think I need to start jogging more.
Well, I was
I'm not.
Congratulations. I was glad to see you back out there again. That's good.
Thank you.
And now you have had a lot of excitement over there right now at horseandcountry.tv. And part of that excitement is the European Championships. And I have to ask you first about Charlotte Desjardins. You guys must be so thrilled to be just dominating dressage right now.
We are. And she's just shot up to ascendancy. I mean, to think 2 years ago she was making her championship debut. She'd only been at Grand Prix for 6 months, I think, with this one horse, Allegro. And she didn't win any individual medals 2 years ago. And this time she finished top in the Grand Prix Special, and the Grand Prix Freestyle. And they really are just an incredible partnership. And considering the chances are that Vallejo was going to be sold after the Olympics, it's so great that we've been able to hang on to him for a little bit longer and have all this European success.
Now, I got to say, her coach, Carl Hester, must be getting a little tired of coming in second place. Now, I know they're good friends and everything, but somewhere in there, he must be going, oh, man, she beat me again.
I mean, not even that. That he not only gives her Allegro, and I think Allegro is quite a strong, powerful horse, and I think Charlotte always got on better with him than Carl did. But Carl's also been giving him giving the ride on Utopia to Charlotte as well. So not only does he not mind being beaten, he gives her both his horses, not just one.
There's a good coach.
Very magnanimous.
There's a good coach. We should all have a coach like that.
Exactly. I think I need one.
Now, tell us a little bit about, of course, eventing was a part of the European Championships as well as jumping.
Well, actually, eventing starts this weekend. So okay. Tomorrow morning at 5 in the morning, I'm going to the airport and flying out to Copenhagen in Denmark and then crossing the border into Malmo in Sweden. And I'm really excited about it because the eventing is being held. Malmo's cross-country course is actually in the city, and you can see the sea all around. And so it's my first visit there, and I'm really excited about going to watch. So we still got the eventing to come, but last week in Herning, we had the dressage, obviously, with Charlotte doing very well. And then we had the show jumping and para dressage. And it was the first time ever that all three events have been held at a European Championship at the same place at the same time.
And you guys did very well in para again. I mean, you guys are, talk about dominating dressage. You're not only dominating able-bodied dressage, you're dominating para dressage.
We are, and we always have. We're this new kind of winning streak in dressage. It's very, very new. Interestingly, in the team dressage competition, we lost Laurel Bettelsheimer and Michelle Horges from the team a week before because he's 18 now, and I think he tweaked something and he wasn't quite right. And Laura's just not willing to risk him, having given her so much and been such a stalwart for the British team. And so we had two newcomers in the team, and our chances of winning gold were quite remote. And sure enough, Germany won gold. But what was really interesting is there was only 1% separating Germany in gold and Britain, who got team bronze in the end. So that's how tight it is. Whereas when you compare that to the para dressage, I think we were about 26% clear in the team competition. And the others are catching up. So we didn't have it all our own way, but in the team competition, we just can't be caught.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, we do, we recorded the dressage show, radio show this week, and it was para dressage week, where the United States para team actually comes on once a month to do that show. And, you know, that's, you know, the British team is who they're aspiring to catch up to and beat all the time. I mean, that's just who they're looking up to.
Yeah, and that's really flattering for us, and it's nice to be at the top, but I think Britain are well aware that there's a lot of countries coming up, and there's a lot more importance placed on para dressage these days, and so we have to keep working, keep making sure we've got these horses. And finding a good para horse is not easy, and they have to cope with the atmosphere, and that did actually cause a bit of an upset with Natasha Baker, who's our double gold medalist from London 2012, and she came in on the first day, and apparently people were coming in and out of the stadium, and there was quite a lot of noise because the show jumping was about to start. And it really unsettled her horse. And she pointed out that it's great to be part of this big championship, but also safety is crucial. And so finding a horse who can move beautifully, but is just perfect and won't get upset or spooked by noise or atmosphere, is a really difficult thing to do.
Definitely. Well, Luce, let's move on to eventing, because, you know, right now around a few castles there in England, you guys are going to be doing some serious eventing, and you just did finish one over at Blair, and there's a nice little house over there. And one of our old friends, Lucinda Fredericks, decided to take a win in the 3-star, huh?
She did. She won the biggest class at Blair. Blair, I should mention, is in my home country of Scotland, and it's
I'm sorry.
All these riders that—that's okay. All these riders that head up from the south—it's a fairly long drive. I think about 12 hours. So, I've not even been as far north as Blair, so it's a long trip. But Lucinda did brilliantly. And she had a very bad fall at the beginning of the season at Tweedledown, and she broke a few ribs, and she was laid up and in hospital. And so it's really great to see her back winning again.
I got to tell you, when I saw pictures from Blair, what a beautiful place for a show, though.
It is. It's absolutely stunning. And we're so lucky. I mean, some of our eventing locations are just stunning, and stately homes and castles and old parkland. Although I have to say, where I was on Sunday, there was no stately homes or castles, so I feel a little bit shortchanged by this.
Now, you have, is it Burley that's coming up?
We have the European Eventing Championships this weekend, Burley the following weekend, and then Blenheim the next weekend. So it's a bit of a crazy 3 weeks.
Well, but an eventer's dream. Boy, if you're a spectator for eventing in England right now, this is your season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it can be a bit of an effect when we have the Europeans close to Burley, but lots of our top riders, like William Fox-Pitt, he's going to be out in Malmo with Chilly Morning, the Stallion, and I'm sure he's got several other horses ready for Burley, so they'll still be out there. But it does sometimes have a bit of a knock-on effect as to who goes where.
Anything else fun going on right now over at Horse and Country TV?
Well, we'll be keeping you all up to date with all of our news and reports from Malmo, but do head to our videos, because Jenny Rudel, our presenter, was out in Denmark, and she got so many great interviews, and she has a lot of banter and jokes with the riders. So if you want to really see what was happening last week, do head to our website and check out the video section.
Very good. And you're always doing something fun, too. Do you have any of the cool dog or cute little pony ones going on right now?
We've got a new gallery, which is all about kind of future stars. And so it's called Stars of the Future, funnily enough. And it's all about young horse evaluation theme. So go and have a look and see which one like the best and see if you can spot a future Olympic or European or world champion among them. They're very cute.
Very good. And I always keep an eye on Photo of the Day. Because you guys have some great photos that end up on Photo of the Day. There's just some really cute ones, and some fun ones over there. So I always check that out. But yeah, definitely hop on over to horseandcountry.tv. Lots of great videos to watch. You know, we don't have the pleasure of getting your programming over here, like you do in Europe. So, one of these days you guys are going to get on a cable station over here and we'll actually be able to watch you.
I think it's not that far removed from the future. I think we're in talks with various people, and we've just launched in Sweden, and we're quite established now in the Netherlands, and there's lots of other places we're looking to launch. So we will as soon as we launch in America, you will be the first to know.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Victoria. We really enjoy having you on every week, and you have a terrific week and a great time in Europe.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that was Victoria Spicer, as we said, of horseandcountry.tv, and we appreciate her joining us from across the pond every week here on Wednesdays. Well, coming up a little later in the show, we have Michelle Anderson and with Dr. Jones this week. They're talking about, what are we talking about today? Lameness diagnoses. So that is our topic, I think, today, and we'll get to that. But first, we're going to...
Say that again? Lameness diagnoses.
Yeah. I think... Is that what? Yeah, lameness diagnosis is. That's right. That's what we're talking about. I'm sticking with that.
I think you had too much wine.
I think I had too much cold medicine. Let's take a break for a song.
The wife laughs.
We're going to play I'm Gonna Fly by Casey Smith. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
I've always been a shy, quiet type, but in my diamond silver, time was right. Driving through life with one foot on the brake, missed every chance that I did not take. Now I'm going through whatever I see. Gonna think, gonna have a hold on me. I'm gonna fly. I'm taking off, they holding back no more. I'm gonna fly. Leader me, I've never been. Get somebody playing a tattoo here or there. Maybe keep losing faith. I won't be afraid. I'll stand straight and tall. Made up my mind, I'm gonna do it all. Oh, I'm gonna do whatever I believe. Yeah, no, nothing. Gonna have a hold on me. I'm taking off, ain't holding back
Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Well, that was I'm Gonna Fly by Casey Smith. You can find all of her music over at caseysmith.com, and that's spelled with a K. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am here with Helena B. today, filling in for Jamie. Jamie will be back here on Friday, just in time for Really Bad Ads. We also have Coach Jen over in the producer chair, and we are brought to you today by the Road to the Horse. Well, I've gotten a couple questions from listeners here on Facebook that I haven't done a PT update lately. So PT Scooter update, my little rescue pony from about 6 weeks ago. He is doing absolutely great. Yeah, Jennifer, actually, I didn't get to witness this, but saw him cantering around yesterday. And that was the first time I think we've seen him cantering around. He gets really excited for his food.
Wow.
So
he's I canter around when it's dinner time too.
But he's been through
feeling good.
Yeah, he's feeling really good. His feet are getting a little better. He had bruised feet, and I think they're feeling a little bit better. And he's been through two wormings now, Jennifer. He's got a third today. So.
Yeah, he's got a third one coming up. Yeah. And his little obnoxious pony personality is coming out in Ribbles and Brabbles. Yeah, he is starting to offer an opinion on certain topics.
Yeah, he didn't have...
Do you agree with those opinions?
Not always. He didn't always have opinions, or he didn't have any opinions when he first came because, you know, he's almost dead. So when you're almost dead, you just take what you can get in life. But now that he's feeling, he's definitely gained weight. We're going to take some pictures this weekend and we'll post them up. But he's gained a lot of weight. His ribs are barely showing anymore. But, you know, his butt's going to take a while. But Jennifer, I was sick over the weekend, but Jennifer got to ground drive him. And you said he did great ground driving again over the weekend. So we're hoping to get a harness
amazing,
here.
He was an amazing, awesome obstacles pony. We did obstacles this past weekend. The paddock behind the barn has a dried up pond in it. So there's little banks and there's trees growing around. So we practiced our steering up and down the little bank and betwixt the trees. And he was a rock star.
Wow. That sounds like fun, actually. So did he seem to enjoy it?
I think he does. He's a little bit different from most of the driving ponies we've had previously in that you have to continuously push the gas pedal. Just because he wants to just stop and stare at everything.
Because he's a lazy bum.
But other than that, he he wants to stand around.
Oh, I don't know that he's lazy.
He just wants to stand around and look pretty. He doesn't have to work. But he does. He pricks his little ears up, and once you get him rolling, he has a blast. And he goes out there in his little cobbled-together harness, and he gets driven at a walk for a whopping 15 minutes three times a week. Woo-hoo!
Oh, bless his heart.
And he thinks that's hard work. But now I have to go on a mission. I have to pick out a cart and a harness, and we'll get him driving down the road in no time. But no, he is doing great, and he looks like he's a keeper. We've determined that he's a keeper. His personality is wonderful. He's just the kind of personality I like. A little bit obnoxious and, you know, a lot like me. So it's perfect. We're a perfect match.
Yes, you are. So he's Glenn in horse clothing.
That's pretty much it. In pony clothes.
Well, as soon as you said he cantered around before dinner, I figured, yeah, well, I'm not the only one who canters before dinner. Or canters up to his dinner. I've seen you canter up to your dinner.
Yes.
You've been out to dinner before.
That's true. I do get excited about my food. And he does too. And, you know, he eats a lot. He's eating more than Jennifer's quarter horse right now. And, you know, for a little 12-2 hander, that's saying a lot. But, he had some catching up to do. He had a few pounds to put on. Now, Jennifer's quarter horse, on the other hand, is kind of looking like the Hindenburg. So,
hey, no. Jennifer has a fat horse? Never.
It's kind of looking big. I think that she's going to be in the new girth soon.
He's a little bit soft and spongy. He does have the SpongeBob SquarePants texture going right now. I will admit that.
Hey,
wow, and you admit it.
Well, this is our downtime here in Florida. This is the time of year you have a hard time getting any riding in between the warm temperatures and almost continuous rain showers. So actually the months of July and August are when I get to ride the least. Because you really can't ride in the rain here because you never know where these stray bolts of lightning are going to land. It's really quite hazardous. We haven't been doing a whole bunch of riding right now. So he's kind of squishy and soft and spongy. Yeah.
We were outside the other day and we get these daily storms that come through and we've had a lot of them this year. We had over 10 inches of rain in 3 days last week. And which any place else, if you had 10 inches of rain, you would be in mud up to your eyeballs for a month. Down here, you get 10 inches of rain, and, you know, half an hour later, everything's back to normal because it all just sinks in the sand, and it's just all back to normal. So, but we were outside, and it was not even cloudy out. Remember this day, Jennifer? We both had left. We were heading over to the barn. I had the dog on a leash, and my poor greyhound, out of nowhere, there's not even any clouds. This huge clap of thunder comes out, scared us to death. I think Jennifer and I both jumped a foot, and my dog got at least 3 feet off the ground. Because it just came out of nowhere. There was no warning or anything, and it just scared the crap out of the dog. I really had to bring her back to the house. She was shaking at that point.
Aww.
Yeah, because she doesn't like thunder anyway, but, I mean, this one, it was loud and just came out of nowhere. And so I just brought her back to the house. But, yeah, that one scared both of us. We've had some close ones here this year. Well, Jennifer, tell us what.
You don't talk much about Glory.
Yeah, but Glory just is. She's laying under my feet right here. Just keeps me company every day, goes to work. Some days she calls in sick and she won't come into the office. But most days she's here doing her job, which is sitting by my feet.
She's a low-key kind of girl.
Yep, keeping it going here in the studio. Well, Jennifer, what is coming up for the prizes for Friday?
On the Friday Really Bad Ads prize table, we've got Uncle Jimmy's gift pack with Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls, licky things, and squeezy buns. You will always have boredom busted and rewards fresh at hand. Uncle Jimmy's products are made with quality ingredients, including the flavors your horses want most, like peppermint, apple, carrot, molasses, and sugar-free varieties. Ask for Uncle Jimmy's at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can find them online at uncle-jimmy's.com. And in the center of the table, from horsegroomingsolutions.com, a horse grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brand you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, which was voted the number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find all of them at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at horsegroomingsolutions.com. And on the right-hand side of the table, Dr. Rose's Remedies gift pack. Dr. Rose's Remedies skin treatment and salve and spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal, and anti-wine. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective treatments for scratches, cuts, and abrasions on your horse. And especially this time of year, they're great for skin funk. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tack and feed supplier or you can visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. And by the way, encourage your local tack and feed stores to carry Dr. Roses. All they have to do is contact Tony at drrosesremedies.com, and he's happy to work with them. They do not have a giant opening order. You just say that to your tack shop guy, and he'll know exactly what we mean.
And he has some free samples for stores just signing up, too, so that they can give them away to their customers. Well, let's thank you, Jennifer. By the way, she's been slathering me in Dr. Roses all week to get rid of the whining, and it hasn't helped. I got to ask you, Helena, we're going to be getting to thehorse.com here in just a minute. But you live about a mile from the beach. It's one of the reasons you moved to where you did in Rhode Island. You live in this cute little town about a mile from the beach. And in Rhode Island and in New England, there's 2 days in the month of August that you can actually go in the water in the ocean at the beach, because otherwise you're going to freeze to death in about 5 seconds. So did you go to the beach during those 2 days and actually get in the water?
I did. Well, interestingly enough, earlier in the summer, I took my first ever vacation out of the country, and I went to the beautiful island of St. Kitts in the West Indies. And so I swam in the Caribbean Sea. I came back, and of course, it was high summer here in New England, and I went down to my beach and touched the water with my big toe and ran screaming in the other direction.
Your water probably doesn't get over 65 degrees.
I have to say, the part of New England where I am is actually quite warm. The water temperature has been wonderful all summer long. And in fact, coming back from the Caribbean and coming to swim in a New England beach was not a problem. It was, I don't know, it's been in the 70s. The water temperature has been in the 70s here, which is quite swimmable.
Yeah, that's very warm for you guys.
And we don't have, sometimes when the water gets really warm, the crabs come out and you'll get seaweed or some jellyfish. But we don't really get those kinds of things in Rhode Island. So, and really, you don't really get them up on the North Shore of Boston either. But sometimes you can get them on the Cape, and you definitely get them down at the Jersey Shore.
Oh, yeah. Jersey Shore was awful for that.
Yeah, on Long Island beaches. But we don't really get that too many of them. So it was really nice to have the warmer water temperatures without all the things that bite you hind knee.
Jennifer complains when our pool gets below 80 degrees. So that, we went down to visit Wendy in Sarasota a couple weeks ago, and we went to the Gulf. They have a beautiful beach there. One of the most beautiful, you've been there. One of the most beautiful beaches ever there. And we went to Siesta Key, and it was just beautiful. And the water's like 85 degrees. It's like bath water warm.
Mm.
Yeah, and which is kind of icky. I found that kind of icky. You want it to be a little bit refreshing, but this is like warm. it's hard to get used to. Yeah. We had a guest on the Eventing Radio show who was over in Israel for the Maccabi Games, which are their version of kind of like an Olympics, and she was competing over there. And riding, and she went to the Dead Sea, and she said that she could not stop talking about the Dead Sea. She said that's just an experience that everybody has to experience at one time or another. She said anything floats in the Dead Sea because it's so full of salt that she said pretty much you can just sit on the water. She said it was just an incredible experience and warm, too.
You know, I experienced that in the Caribbean, not realizing just how salty the water is there or how much salt is in the air. You float. It's so much easier it's great for snorkeling because it's easy to stay up, and it's great for swimming because it's easy to stay up. But it's really salty because when I came back to the beach here in New England, it was almost like swimming in brackish water. That's the difference in salt content. It's really interesting.
She said one of the problems that the Americans had, like her, that went there, she said, was that we're kind of used to not having to wear really tight bathing suits. And she said, we learned that everything floats right out of the bathing suit. So she said we all went out and bought tighter bathing suits for the Dead Sea. Because
what do you mean everything floats out of the bathing suit? That's scary. What do you mean?
The women's tops just floated right out of the bathing suits. She said you couldn't wear loose bathing suits at all. She said it's that floaty in the Dead Sea. All right, and on that note,
I'm not expecting that.
On that note, let's head over and do thehorse.com. I have their intro here somewhere. There it is.
time for the weekly health report from Horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
Coming up next, we have one of my favorite segments on Horses in the Morning. It's the Weekly Horse Health Report, and that's with thehorse.com. Today, we have Michelle Anderson, who's the digital editor of thehorse.com, and she's going to be talking with Dr. Jones. Today's topic is, as Glenn says, lameness diagnosis. Seriously, lameness is like the bane of every horse person's existence. So we're going to talk to, we're going to listen in as Michelle and Dr. Jones discuss diagnostics for lameness.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, you know, I have two lame horses on my property right now. It really is something. They have four legs, and things can go wrong with each one of their legs, is what I've learned.
That's right. And many other parts,
Dr.
too.
Jones with us? Well, yeah, I know. But that's, when your vet says, well, the reason you can't tell what leg he's lame on is because he's lame on all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been my recent experience. So, Dr. Jones, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm here. Sorry to hear you have your horse has crippled all four legs, huh?
Thank you.
Do you have a chart on the wall, Dr. Jones, that shows, okay, crippled in one leg is $1,000, crippled in two is $2,000. Do you have charts like that on the wall?
Yeah, and it says crippled in three and a half legs, shoot them.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
I'm just joking.
Only a vet could say that.
Yeah, that's right.
But so this topic, it was something that Dr. Jones was excited about, talking about lameness diagnostics, and I think she has a story to share with us. So, Dr. Jones?
Yes, I do. And, I haven't quite figured it out. Maybe there's some better practices and bigger practices have quite figured out, or maybe savvier receptionists have figured out how to get clients to get to the root of what the situation is. So I had a client come in a few weeks ago, a fairly savvy client with their horse. They've been in horses for a while, and they scheduled their appointment for an ultrasound on a horse that I've never seen, or I saw once for vaccines. They just acquired the horse. Horse has been in training. I saw them 2 weeks prior for another horse of theirs, and they said, well, their trainer said the horse had popped a splint. So when 2 weeks later came and they had that same horse that supposedly popped a splint in for an ultrasound, I thought, why are we ultrasounding a pop splint? Okay, so for those of you who don't know what a pop splint is, the splint bones, which is basically metacarpals and metatarsal bones in the front and back legs, are little tiny toothpick-looking type bones on either side of the cannon bone. And if they get interfered with by a foot or kicked at by another horse, they can make this nice, ugly, hard, firm growth. And when they do that, they tend to be a little bit sore and painful initially, and then it cools off and reorganizes itself and looks fine, unless it's fractured. Now, I looked at the horse, and it's on the ultrasound. Usually you would x-ray something bony, and I don't even see this big, large, bony thing. So then they said, well, something about the suspensory ligaments being pinched, and again, getting into a pop splint, if they're big enough and bilateral, you can, you know, both sides of the cannon, you can sometimes pinch down the suspensory ligament that's between them. But I'm palpating the ligaments, and they all seem fine. So I said, let's trot the horse. Okay, now we're into an lameness exam. So I think what the root of this discussion that I'm bringing up is the clients really don't know that if there's a problem with the horse, it starts with a lameness exam. Even if it's a popped splint or a suspensory being squeezed or injured, you wouldn't want to call and just get an x-ray and ultrasound. You'd want to localize it for sure. Where in the suspensory ligament? Because it's a little bit of a length on the backside of the cannon. Is it one of the branches? If there's a mass from this pop splint, you know, it still may include a lameness exam, but it's some sort of an exam. And that's where I haven't quite figured out how to get the clients to request a lameness exam, or how to get the questions out of them of why do they want the ultrasound or why do they want the x-ray, because usually that flows into a lameness exam, and some of them get a little freaked out saying, oh, that's quite a bit of money.
Well, now, Dr. Jones, I have to say, you vet show up and you have all your magic machines that magically tell us what's wrong with our horses, right?
Well, only if the horse points to the area and says, x-ray this. But that's what doesn't happen.
This is what hurts.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. We gotta localize it without them telling us, except for their limping and bobbing heads and, you know, stuff like that.
Yes.
So pain and heat swelling. So if it's not obvious pain, heat, swelling, it's gonna involve a lameness exam. And more times than not, it's a lameness exam is what they need to just call for, and they need to put aside the time for it. Now, this one was really interesting because the first day, yes, this is how a lot of lameness exams go. The first day, we localized it was to the foot somewhere. The second day, they came back, and we actually blocked the joint, and the horse went perfectly sound. So I couldn't do both of those in the same day because I had to let the one block wear off and come back and do the other block all by itself to localize a specific joint it was affecting.
So I think this is where we horse owners get ourselves in trouble. We can tell our horse is lame, so we kind of go, well, maybe we just need to go forward. Like, we know it's lame. I don't need someone to tell me it's lame. It's limping. But not thinking that we need to have this whole exam to target or pinpoint where the pain or mechanical issue is coming from in our defense. And in barns, we do have trainers or other people, oh, you need to get that ultrasound or sounded, or that needs x-rays. Or so we have a lot of peer diagnostics going on in the barn.
Oh, and I agree with all that because it helps a lot of people know what they're getting into, especially some that are a little bit new to it. But, you know, my concern is how can I guide the client to understanding that their 30-minute appointment for an ultrasound or x-ray or 45-minute appointment for ultrasound x-ray is really going to probably cost them, not cost in money but in time, an hour and a half to 2 hours in a lameness exam just to get started.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's frustration on the client's part comes, and then frustration on my part comes, because I would want to make sure I give them, you know, full workup and a proper amount of time.
Yeah. So I recently on my horse with 3 lame legs, I had my vet out, and it's hard to not say, like, this is what I think it is, or this is what I feel like is going on, and to step back and say, I just need a lameness exam. We need to start at the beginning. And that's what I did with this, because it was so just kind of wacky that I'm totally lost. You're the vet. You're the expert. Let's do a lameness exam. And I had thought that we were going to have to do x-rays and all that stuff, and we actually didn't get that far at the get-go. Like, we're just kind of easing into it, which is actually kind of nice, too. So I think I would tell everyone out there that if you don't go in and say, oh, we need to do the MRI right out of the gate, you might save some money. Maybe.
Absolutely. And a lot of people might think that because they've had experience with a friend of theirs went and had an MRI done. They were able to pinpoint exactly the problem and all that. So it's kind of amazing when you put all that together and find out you don't have to spend that kind of money. That's the other thing, is not to spend it or suspend it. There's a lot of good diagnostics lately that we can use to figure out what's wrong with the horse. It's just people planning for those. I hate to say it, but those insurance companies have really been pretty open now about paying for MRIs and paying for nuclear scans. They've been doing that for years. So those are things that people should keep in mind, is their premium insurance will come around and help them if they do have a show horse that they're trying to keep sound.
Yeah. So how do you as a vet decide which diagnostic test to use as you're moving through that lameness exam?
Well, you know, x-ray is usually our first go-to. That's just been standard in veterinary life for years. The swelling and heat of a soft tissue injury is pretty obvious. Bowed tendon, everybody knows, or most everybody knows what that is. That's that lump on the backside of the cannon bone. That I probably wouldn't x-ray. I'd probably go straight to an ultrasound on that. The joints being affected, like this coffin joint that blocks sound, when I injected the coffin joint with lidocaine, it went perfectly sound. We x-rayed the joint because that's a bony problem, a joint problem. And if that wasn't going to give us enough information, the next step for that is we could ultrasound that area, and then the next step would be MRI. So that's usually, or nuclear scan. The upper end ones are usually after ultrasound and x-ray are utilized on the farm, which makes it more economical for the client. So there's a lot that can be done on the farm still in the right hands.
So how does expense play into lameness diagnostics and figuring out what's going on with the horse?
Well, let's take your horse, for example, the abscessed foot. You knew it was an abscessed foot. a lot of my green clients won't. They'll say, I think they broke their leg. You know, some of them might say something's really wrong. They can't walk today. So you get out there and it's abscess, it's one leg. That doesn't take very much time of the practitioner. And really it's based on our time and our knowledge base. So you're charged for a per time, and I hate to make the comparison, like a lawyer would charge per time or an accountant would charge per time on their efforts they are doing because it's their knowledge base and efforts of helping you. So it's a per time incident. Now your horse now with three legs that are lame, you will work up the lamest leg, you meaning the veterinarian, will work up the lamest leg first because it's the most obvious to us. And when that one goes sound and the other ones look more lame because now they're the only one that hurts, then you work up the next one. And then when you find out where that one went sound, you work up the last one. So that's going to take quite a bit more time if you think about it, and more diagnostics. So if you have a lameness in the right front, let's say, that's more obvious than the left front, and you block it too, block meaning you put the Novocaine in and they go sound and they feel better because they've got a numb foot, you block it to the foot, and also in the left front goes even more lame, and you block that one and it goes also to the foot, and then the back is still lame, and it takes you up to the proximal suspensory, you're probably looking at x-raying both front feet and ultrasounding the back. A lot of people at this point, you know, those with show horses might say, you know what, I'm going to do a nuclear scan and see what else is affected in all the feet, because on x-ray, if it's, let's say, a navicular bone or something affecting the heel area of the foot, you may not pick up a lot of changes on the x-ray, but on a nuke scan, you'll see that that navicular bone is going to light up. Or you do MRI on both front feet, and you ultrasound the back leg because it was a suspensory ligament. So you're looking at a lot of different modalities. It can get quite costly, or it can be as simple as a couple x-rays and an ultrasound.
So I have a friend who is a very knowledgeable horse person, and if the horse is off at all, she says abscess, abscess, abscess every time. I have another friend who thinks everything's a suspensory. So how do we owners and those of us managing horses, how do we not do the Chicken Little thing that the sky is falling when we go to our vet?
Us horse husbands always go for the abscess because it's cheaper.
It is, but it's a lot of work. I tell you,
yeah, but we don't have to do the work.
It's a lot of work.
We're just worried about the checkbook. So, we're always going for that.
Well, although, have you bought duct tape and all the supplies to wrap an abscess hoof recently? I went to the feed store and I get my duct tape and my my vet wrap and my Lascon and my gauze and my poultice, and the vet or the guy at the feed store goes, "Oh, I know what you're doing." Oh, and $60 later. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, so your back hurts from bending over, and mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's not easy for us to, you know, we tell them to take it easy. It could be that, but there's other things we want to look into that look similar to that lameness. There's a lot of things that look similar when it comes to a lameness. And having a good eye for lameness is what you really want to pay for. So you might say, oh, Dr. A charges this much to do lameness exam, and Dr. B charges this much, and A might be a lot cheaper than B. But there might be a difference of 20 years of experience, or there might be a difference of who's updated on current their continuing education and has a interest in doing those lameness exams. And with the new sports medicine specialty board certification with letters behind the name, those are always good to look for too. But some of those will go a lot faster. Some of those lameness workups will go a lot faster, even though, let's say, for example, somebody's charging $300 an hour, throw that number out there, and the young new veterinarian might only charge you $150 an hour. It might take that young veterinarian a full hour or a full 2 hours to figure it out. So now you spent $300, where the experienced veterinarian might find out in half an hour and you only paid $150. So, you know, you kind of have to look into what's going to be the best for your animal rather than the best for your pocketbook, I hate to say.
How do we advocate for our animals without driving our vets crazy?
Well, I think those that come and say, my horse is lame, and the vet says, no, it's not, are probably the most frustrated, I'll be honest. And those clients that come to me and tell me that, say they've been to a veterinarian and they said, my horse is lame, and the vet says they didn't see anything, I really pay attention to the history. because it's them riding the horse probably more than you seeing it on the ground is where you're going to see the situation. So I have those clients get up on the horse and ride them. I don't think, per se, being a pain for the vet is a bad thing. I've got, you know, clients that will tell me this guy is falling every week, and some of them we handle over the phone because we know we have to do that because there's no really need for us to be out there and see their horse. But more times than not, we'll go because there really is a need to see the horse, and it may not be the horse is on its death door or it's got a broken leg, but there is something that's starting to brew, and when you nip it in the bud early, you don't have the full-blown expense as you would if it was 3 weeks down the road. So I'm probably not the best vet to ask that to because I wouldn't say I welcome them to call every time they get a hangnail, but I do have a lot of clients that do that, and I kind of welcome the idea of catching things early, and I love that fact. Another quick story is I had a client that called me and said that her horse was lame in the right front. Now, we know he's got a ring bone that we've been addressing. He's never been lame on it yet. We've shockwaved it, and it's actually changed in formation, looks beautiful, but she did notice the lump that started showing up for ring bone down in the pasturing area. Now, she said the horse was lame in the right front, so we both thought ring bone is starting to be a problem. I go out there, and this horse had a big swelling on its chest with a lot of fluid and a pocket of a puncture wound that was draining out. And I said, well, it's probably not the foot, it's the chest. So we treated the chest. And so then she called another week and a half later and said, oh, horse is lame again. I go out there, and there is a cut on the left front leg, and it's lame on the left front, not the right front. And I said, well, this is the problem. It's not the right front, because she's all panicked about the right front. And she's like, but Doc, I know there's something wrong with the right front. And I said, well, I can't tell you that today the horse is lame on the left front. She said, it wasn't lame on the left front yesterday. And I said, I'm sorry, today it is. I have to address that. So a week and a half later, so now we're going into this 4 weeks, she calls me out for the right front lameness. We worked it up to the origin of the suspensory ligament. So this horse had probably an origin suspensory ligament all along, but the poor thing ended up getting a puncture wound and then getting a swollen knee from a cut on the other leg that delayed my evaluation. And that poor horse is probably looking at me going, Doc, it's right here in my right front leg, it's the cannon bone, the whole time. But when we're trotting him, he's got other issues. You know, he's got a swelling with pus coming out of it. He's got a laceration. So, you know, we can be fooled numerous times and delay the process, but that's because we have to address the most urgent.
Yeah. If only they could tell us what they feel.
Exactly. But I really think that, and it helps us vets. And it's funny because I'll tell the students this. The clients will say, look, I don't think I've got an abscess in my horse. I think it's coming from the shoulder. 80% of the horse's lamenesses are in the foot. So when they say, I think it's coming from the shoulder, I'm looking at the foot. So even all the information you give us does help us.
Yeah, but you obviously have to filter some of it out. I think of some things I've told my vet, my poor vet. Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Jones. We're sure glad to have you guys so that you can help us figure out what's going on with our horses because lameness is so frustrating.
Yeah, and they don't even have to call for a lameness exam. They just might say, something's wrong with my horse. I need an exam.
Mm-hmm.
And then the vet can figure it out, you know, from that point on. It's just us scheduling our time appropriately so that we can give the proper amount of time to start up the lameness exam and get through a good portion of it before you'd have to return or to be continued. So that's just the hardest part I keep running into is how can I get the clients to say to me, you know, we've been off for a couple weeks. Like, this client knew very well that there was lameness, and so I did schedule enough time each time I went out there. So,
well, we on thehorse.com, we have a video that goes pretty in-depth into x-rays and what you find using those during a lameness exam. So I'm going to go ahead and post that on our Facebook page. If anyone's looking for other lameness stuff, we have a lot of resources. And we have a lameness newsletter that goes out every Wednesday. So you can sign up for that and get all the new articles that we have related to lameness. So lameness is the center of my world right now. Thank you, Dr. Jones.
My pleasure.
Well, thanks, Dr. Jones, and thank you, Michelle. We really appreciate you being on the show, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Well, that was very interesting, and it is certainly frustrating. We've all, anybody that's owned horses for any period of time, have had lame horses, and it's something that we have to deal with, and we have to it is frustrating because it does take sometimes so darn long to diagnose it.
Yep.
And you went through that quite a bit. You spent a lot of time with that problem.
I know. Solving the mystery, dumping money into the mystery. But, you know, sometimes one of the things that does pay off is that you find out there's really nothing wrong with your horse's foot, as in my case, other than a big rock in his field.
Right. I mean, that is true. I mean, it is always nice to find out, oh, it was the easy, inexpensive one option that you had.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the diagnosis, the diagnostics cost more than the treatment because, well, it's just a stone bruise and you have to wait it out.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
But it took me $780 to figure that out.
It's true. It's true. Jennifer, we've had some interesting ones over the years. You got to talk about this. And you might have to go into, well, I know it was yesterday's show notes that you posted in there. But Helena, you got to tell Helena about this and the listeners. You found a horseshoe company with do-it-yourself instructions. Was that in yesterday's? It was bizarre.
Oh, my God, what? Remember, I came across a company that makes a urethane shoe. It's some kind of a plasticky, rubbery stuff. And plasticky, rubbery stuff horseshoes have been around for some time. And this is one that is designed to be used on a horse that, for whatever reason, doesn't want to wear metal shoes, either because the owner doesn't want metal shoes or the horse can't wear them, et cetera, et cetera. But they have instructions on how to apply the horseshoe yourself, either by nailing it in or by, get this, using drywall screws. Exactly. I was speechless too. What? I was just...
Yeah, the instructions...
Are drywall screws short? Like,
they can get short ones.
Well, they come in all different lengths.
Well, I have the instructions here in front, and this is the instructions. You trim the hoof, obviously, and then you use a fine thread, dark, not shiny drywall screw. The shiny ones are hardened and will break easier. Use between 1¼ inch and 1⅝ inch long drywall screws. Wood screws are thick and do not have threads all the way to the head, so they will not work. Use a battery-powered drill with a Phillips head screw tip. Apply 4 screws per side. Use a total of 8 screws per shoe. No pre-drilling is required. Line up the screw and in the nail channel and just screw them in. Now, it does say, you got this? It does say the proper placement of the screw is crucial. If you place the screw too far inside the hoof, away from the white line, you will sore your horse. No kidding. You just screwed your horse in many ways.
Literally. So, oh, my gosh.
What could go wrong with this picture?
Oh, my gosh. They should sell helmets with their instructions.
Yeah.
So someone's going to get kicked.
You know how you pull nails out? You know, you use that little puller and you pull the nails out when you want to take a screw off or a shoe off? What do you do with the screw? Yeah. It has threads.
Well, my concern is...
I guess you unscrew it.
You would unscrew it. But unless that screw head is protected... Either it's going to get full of debris or worn off so that you wouldn't be able to get a screwdriver into the screw head. Nothing about this sounded like a good idea. I'm sorry. Nothing. I'm all about do it yourself. You know, I'm the original, DIYer, but even I wasn't willing to buy into drywall screws for your horse's shoes.
It does say
here. I'm like mentally paging through possibilities. Like, why? And this is there's actually it's like a legitimate product that's sold in stores.
I won't name the name of the company, but yeah, it's on a website and they sell this product. It does say if a screw breaks, use pliers or vice grips to grab the screw part and twist it around to the back of the hoof. Sometimes the end of the screw that remains in the hoof can be trimmed away if this happens.
Oh my goodness.
Speaking of abscesses, did we just have a conversation about abscesses?
Wait, shouldn't there be some kind of like regulatory unit or association?
Yeah. This sounds like something you should have a permit for. It really does.
Now maybe we're going to get a bunch of people posting on Facebook that they put their shoes on with drywall screws all the time. You know, who knows? But It's certainly something I've never seen.
Maybe it's some kind of a subculture that we're just unaware of.
Yeah, maybe. The screw culture.
I don't want to be aware of it. I don't want to live near it. I don't want to know about it.
That's funny. Well, that's it. Let's call it a day. My voice is giving out here. So thank you, everybody, for listening in. We appreciate you being here today. Congratulations to the winners of the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia. We appreciate Equity for their sponsorship. And obviously, a lot of our listeners have either won or bought Flex and Forks and Shake and Forks over the time that they've been involved.
Or both, in some cases.
Or both, yeah, exactly.
Some of them have bought and won. Your Flex and Forks.
And now I can, for the first time, say you can hear Helena on two different shows here on the network, the Stable Scoop Radio Show. Our episode will be out tomorrow for this week's episode. And also, the Chasing a Fox show, which is out currently. You can find it at horseradionetwork.com or chasingafox.com. Don't forget to download the app. New show will be on the app here shortly on iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network, download the app. And I have to congratulate you, Helena. You got your new show got accepted to iTunes faster than any show in the history of iTunes. I was shocked.
Wow.
Within an hour, they approved it. It usually takes days or weeks. And they approved it within an hour. I don't know if they weren't backlogged or they had extra Indian help. I don't know. But they certainly got it approved quickly.
There's probably a fox hunter on staff somewhere.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, but
we're a tight bunch.
It's now on iTunes, too. Just search for Chasing a Fox. It is approved. Well, thank you, everybody. Have a great day. And you guys, we'll see you back here live on Friday. Jennifer will have a recorded show for you tomorrow. Say goodbye, Helena.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks, Jen. Now, everybody, go out and screw your horse's feet. Nothing could go wrong with that. Get the drill out. Some drywall screws. They never break.
I ride with a battery-operated drill in my saddlebag, I think.